Good morning. Hi, this
Love
is Susan Robinson,
Radio.
Your host from Missing Pages of History, Inc. I would like to invite you to our topic for today. Is Black History Month serving its purpose? And also, how can we control and express how and what its content should be?
We'd like to thank our sister Susie, who's a member of Missing Pages, who has just thrown out to the audience today their special topic and is on Black History Month. Is it serving our purpose? It's a twofold question. Number one, I think I'd like to ask our membership today, who we have Sister Julian back out of Philly and Brother Emmanuel out of North Carolina, along with myself, Lee Robinson, and Susan Robinson out of Virginia. We'll be discussing this matter, and later on we'd like to have some collective input from the community. What do y'all think about the subject area? Everywhere I have gone for the last 3-4 weeks, I am beginning to know there is a dialogue within our community on the relevance of this particular concept we call Black History Month or African History Month. And is it serving our purpose? Because there seems to be, when we talk about our history, see, like many of us, many Africans born in America or blacks in America, has a position of where we seem to include some aspects of history, but negate another aspect of history. At the same time, when you talk about the style, the images, and the tone of our history, we also seem to be a little uncomfortable in terms of not so much of what we say, but how we say it and who we say it to. And what has created these conditions where the so-called Black History Month was a concept that I thought, that I believe, it was created for the purpose of allowing underserved communities and people to totally be free to express their desires, their understandings, and their whole total way of being when it comes to the history of their people. But unfortunately, I find this not to be so. So on that note, what I would like to open up right now, a discussion, a critical discussion with members of Missing Pages History and the community on this issue. And we'd like to start with our brother, Mr. Joyner. I'd like to start with you down in North Carolina. Give me your best take on this question of, is Black History Month serving its purpose, from your understanding?
Well, I put things in numbers all the time. My name is Emmanuel Joyner, Raleigh, North Carolina. I put everything in numbers or percentages from polls just taken unanimously across the country, but you can't get accurate information from the polls because where the polls are taken. Now, as far as the image is concerned, we're not complicit enough. This is global. We got to talk more about economics, global economy. We got to talk about opportunities, and we got to talk about the past, and we talk about the present and what's going to be for the future. So we have to get more information. Right now, we get low information. So we need more information on the global front opposed to what we're doing locally, state, and national. We have to get more involved in the politics. And that's what it's all about, in the politics.
He said, politics or politics? Which one?
Politics. Okay. And I will tell you about politics later on, but politics is what we got to get more involved in our community. Be sure things are going our way. I said the same opportunities. Because everything is basically directed at African Americans or blacks. And we have to sort of flip the switch. We got to study Caucasian America, European American, white America. We got to study them and see how they made America like it is today on this misguided path. So we have to understand one thing. We got to get more complicit about the economics and the opportunities, and get more involved in affirmative action, which has been around about 400 years. But who got all the affirmatives is based, again, European Americans, Caucasians, or whites. They had all the affirmatives for 400 years. So affirmative action has been around for a long time, and we talk about it like it's just for us. It's been there. Yesterday we had from the Supreme Court Justice, I'm not going to talk his name because it makes me vomit, that voting is a racial entitlement. How in the world he come up with that? We have put stupid people on the court or racist people on the court. That's what we have. someone that's a racial entitlement. Who's had a racial entitlement all this long time? If it wasn't that, there, whites have had the racial entitlement, not
that
us.
That is such an interesting way of how one can twist history.
They twist history.
You got to justify their self-interest. That's really interesting.
Yeah, you got to. But when you say racial entitlement, who are you talking about? Well, you're talking about whites, basically. They always had a racial entitlement. So you got to flip this coin. Things they talk about us, you got to flip the welfare coin. There's $14 billion given to welfare individually. $359 billion is given to, again, racial entitlement, which are basically whites. So when you look at $14 billion versus $359 billion of welfare, who's getting it? But these are the kind of things we have to look. When they say something, we have to flip the coin because they're coding things to you. And you got to code things right back to them. Like I said, again, people in Oklahoma, the Indians in Oklahoma had all the land. Who got the oil now? They pushed the Indians off all the oil land. They pushed the Hispanics from Texas. Look who owned Texas now, called the Lone Star State. But it's, you know, they're takers. And we have to understand that. So we got to talk more our images as far as images of other people, too, who have had all the advantages, all the privileges they got the world, everything, and where our place is in it. So we got to make sure we put a foothold in our place, just like the Jews and everybody else. So economic-wise, we got to get much better than what we are. We got to go get more ownership. These are the images we should be portraying now. How do we stretch out and extend entrepreneurship, owning businesses in the Fortune 500? We got to get the Magic Johnsons together, the Tiger Woods together. We got to get the Michael Jordans together. But that's why our money's in entertainment and sports. We have very few enterprises of doing anything other than that. So we got to get them involved. Maybe have monthly meetings with our, you know, we only got 5 billionaires. California got 93, just one state. We got 5 total. And none of them have $1 billion in cash. Oprah Winfrey has $880 million in cash. So she's not a billionaire for its cash concern, but just for assets. So we got to do some more explaining. But I said, again, we got to be more complicit in things that we do for the next Black History Month. We got to practice Black History Month and do it all 12 months. We're just going to annotate one, which is February, which is the shortest month of the year. And we got to do everything and pronounce everything during that particular month. A theme that, again, things that we can't conceive, and I'm wound down to 30 seconds, that we'll soon be at $1 trillion of spending power. So we got to, and we only recycle $50 billion out of almost $1 trillion. So we got to look at these numbers and start being more complicit. And images and our documentaries and everything else to say this is what it's all about. And the bottom line, we live in a capitalist society, and we have to understand the global economy is here. We got to fully participate in it.
Okay. You have just heard Mr. Joyner out of North Carolina, member of the Missing Pages of History, giving his take on this first aspect of our topic tonight, which is Black History Month serving its purpose? We now go to our members in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'd like to hear from Brother McHale and Sister June. We'd like to ask from Brother McHale. Then we'd like to have Sister June response also. From your perspective, is Black History Month serving its purpose? Brother McHale. Do we have Brother McHale there?
Here we are in Philadelphia. And in response to your question, I truly believe that it's a good concept that's gone awry, you might say. Dr. Carter Woodson started this back in quite a while ago with a Negro History Week, and he's the author of the book Miseducation of the Negro. So that was what the initial idea was, to counteract the false images and the false information that we have been subjected to since our arrival here in the United States. It became Black History Month, and it's become controlled. And when somebody controls your finances, you can't really expect too much more than the controller to call the tune. So here's the problem. We have lots of information and access to the information, but we have become reliant on outside sources to tell us our history and even to direct our mission here in the West and around the world. There's been quite a few instances of self-hate and despondency amongst the lower class of the black people in this country, and it's primarily due to those false images. So if we want to counteract them, we'd have to support that on our own. We'd have to do for self and put our own program together.
Okay. Do we have Sister June now? Can we get your response to this question? Sister June, what is your take on this question? Is Black history serving its purpose today?
Well, I agree fully with what has been stated before me, which is from Mr. Joyner and Michael. I take the position that I think that we should have more than just 1 month, but given the fact that they have allowed us to celebrate our history, the history of accomplishments for us, people of our kind, during that month, I think it's a time where we can use that period to reflect on the accomplishments and everything that we've done, and almost kind of use it in a sense as a oral history, meaning that in school, because every year a new generation of African or African Americans come about, they need to continue the specifics and know the specifics of those who came before them in terms of what was done, who accomplished it, how it was accomplished. So I think in that essence, I think Black History Month is serving a purpose, and we can use it to help move us forward. Keep adding on, and keep it going, because I know that if we don't keep it going, they're not, the white America or white establishment will not keep it going, and it will be lost. So each year, some new facts, whether it's related to how many billionaires or people of African descent that have money and where that money is going, is put out to our children, it will be useful. So in that regard, I think it is serving a purpose, and I think it should continue to be used.
Okay, you said something, Sister June. I'd like to have Mr. Joyner and everybody join in and respond to the statement I'm about to make. You made a point about how you see Black history served its purpose as a means to reflect on our historical achievements, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm quite sure the father of Black History Month, Carl G. Wilson, I'm quite sure that was one of his attempts to have a period where he could reflect. But also I think that he probably also had it in mind to have a time where underserved, oppressed communities, African people, will also have a time and place where they can speak to ourselves, speak to those that need to be spoken to, and address the shortcomings and the contradictions that we are dealing with. Now, I'm just wondering, in terms of this so-called Black History Month, from my observation for the past several years, I find Black History Month to be look like it's catering towards issues that are safe to talk about. I find Black history seem like addressing issues that will not offend those who may have created many problems inside the Black community. And in this case, that's about as some would say, European or white people. I find Black history has a tendency to speak about only the Blacks who have been wealthy and successful, but leave out the poor and the underprivileged. Now, Brother Mike made a point, and I spoke at this point with Mr. John earlier. He made an observation that we really cannot truly have any kind of serious discussion of Black history when other folks are financing their programs. Because when we look at all the major programs that deal with mass media, they fit a certain mold, a certain image, and they lead millions and millions and millions of issues and concerns and contributions to our people. And we look at where the money is coming from, it's not coming from the African community, the Black community. So given the fact that that's the case, I'd like to address this to everyone. And I'd like to have your response first, Mrs. Joyner. How do we truly put ourselves in a position where we truly be comfortable to speak to issues that are affecting the Black community, when we speak the issues that we think is more important to us and don't be fearful of the repercussions. How do we change that climate in those conditions, Mr. John?
Well, there are several ways to change it. First of all, Black History Month is 1 month. So we need Black History Week every week of every month. And we just for suggestion, like we have Bible study on Wednesday night at churches around the country, all over the country, especially African American countries. Well, why not have the same thing, like a study of Black history once a week in the churches, like you have Bible study, pick a day, and we do that. That's another way of getting the community involved, maybe the community church involved. And our biggest asset is our churches. 144,000 churches, that's the best one of the better ways to do it. A second way to do it, again, is to have meetings.
And want to respond to, many people in the African community feel like the churches are the problem.
They are the problem. That's why we have to, that's the churches are big of our community. So that's where we have to start, is like Bible study. We need to bring the church into this, what we need you to do. So the church should have a committee in there to set up, you know, set up tools to make this work through the internet and everything else, and to have the mass media that we need. Most churches, larger churches, have the, you know, have the TVs and everything in there. And what we need to do is set up, like you said, things like AAU to get to our youth, what youth participate in, because the youth is our future, and we got to get to them to know about the past. See, before they can know, they can walk into a store, they go shop one time, they could shop. One time you couldn't put money in the bank, you couldn't buy a house, you couldn't buy a car, things you could not do. So you couldn't buy insurance. I mean, things that you could not do. So these are the things that, you know, that we need to get to touch them at 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. This is where you got to, you can't build a tree when it's old. You can't train it when it's old. So you got to train them then and let them know about their history. You couldn't buy records all the time. You couldn't buy this. You couldn't go to the store to buy anything. That's why places like Montgomery Ward, J.C. Penney, Sears, you order from a catalog. Let them know what happened. And you're only going to do this through only buildings we have, or real estate places we have that don't cost a lot of money, is the churches. We got to start there because we don't believe in donating, doing this or that. Advertisement. That's AT&T, Verizon. You know, we're a big part of them, percentage-wise. The food stores, we can try to get a hold of them, some of the big department stores that can, they have a lot of foundations, and see what their foundations are doing on a weekly basis. Walmart, this type, where we, you know, where we put our dollars at. And everybody needs to put up the Willie Lynch letter. The Willie Lynch letter is the most important document, I think, in history of controlling. We talk about the controlling people. They control us because the last sentence says, make sure we supply all of their needs. And that's what they do. They make sure. Everybody got to print that out, put it on their refrigerator, and answer the Willie Lynch letter. You need to answer that letter. The light skin against the dark skin, the good hair against the bad. That's why we're where we are today, because we're against each other. It's okay talking negatively about black folk or with black hosts or this or that, but again, we got to straighten that. We got to start somewhere. You got to start from radio. You got to start from television. Most of the sponsorships by basically European America sponsor most of this. So this is our agenda that we've got to put on the table. We've got to have a dialogue. And the churches need a dialogue. They said that's part of the problem. Well, we got to make sure that we do Black History 1 week. 1 week or 1 day. We can do it a week or 3 days a week, whatever, how you want to do it. And especially do it on Saturday, a special day on Saturday, that we're going to do this and train our children that this is history. We want to tell it to his story because he's telling his story. Would you tell history? That's what we're not doing. So, again, I'm there saying, you know, we got to tear everything down, start all over again, bring in some old Martin Luther Kings, some old Malcolm X's, you know, some more Rosa Parks. These are people that we need now, the youth of America, to participate in this because, again, this is a very dynamic type of political process we have here. It's totally different now because we have a black man as president, and everybody basically, people hate him to a certain extent because the slave is telling the slave master what to do. They've never been used to this type of thing. That's why they're acting the way they act today. because of that, mainly the southern states, because you're not slaves anymore. They have to pay you, even though they pay you menial wages, menial everything. You get menial promotions, everything else, which you can't participate in the economy like you want to, but you don't have the money because the banks don't owe you no money. So there's a lot of stuff in here, and we got to sort of dissect this and say, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. Why you can't, you know, unemployment is high. This affects the community all the way around. So this is what we got to get. Again, to be brief to here and to round up everything, is that, again, we need to do a, like to do Bible study at the church. I'm going to repeat this. We need to do 1 week at the church or 1 day at the church. We talk about financial matters. We've got to talk about certain things that we need to talk about, where our black men can be doctors, engineers, they can be lawyers, opposed to the things they want you to be, or be on the basketball court and not the ownership of the basketball, or make the basketball, or make the floor that they play on. Just want you to be a player in their game. So understand the game and where your placement is on the game. Understand the chessboard. Who are the lower figures on the chessboard? Who are the higher figures?
Okay. I'm going to start right there, Mr. J.
We're down to eight minutes.
Okay, we'd like audience, go there right now. Feel free, this is Mr. Page of History. We have opened up your phone lines. Feel free to call in and give your views or comments on this theme tonight. This question we're dealing with is Black History Month serving its purpose? How do we control the content, the essence of what it should be about, and the images? You may call in at 818-337-0016. You call in there at 818-337-0016. I'd like to go to members in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and ask Brother McHale, what is your response or solution to this whole question? How do we overcome this issue of feeling intimidated by what we said, how we said, who we said to? How do you feel about the whole issues of there are certain subject areas that need to be discussed with our community, but we feel very fearful because there may be repercussions? Brother Kale, how do we deal with that? We're in the context of looking at this whole purpose of Black History Month.
Well, if you want to have a Black History Month and if you want to do it 365 days a year, then you have to support it yourself and you have to do it yourself. That way you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks about your own private conversations. If you look at other ethnic groups, say, let's say European Jewry, they control their image. They control a lot of other people's images. They control their finances, and it's even a study of their entrance into the United States and how they've risen up would point out some good things for people, our people also. The other day I was watching the Savior's Day address by Minister Farrakhan, and he's bringing up the economic plan that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had instituted back in the 60s. And it was a very good presentation, very well thought out, and something that we could all take at least a listen to see if these ideas are applicable today. Again, we have to support these things on our own. We need to be fearless enough to listen to people who may have different opinions than what we're used to. We saw recently the film by the Lifetime Movie Network about Coretta and Betty with Mary J. Blige playing Betty Shabazz. And the whole purpose of the movie, as far as I can see, it wasn't too much meat to that story, but it was primarily to bring up the any kind of a controversy about the Malcolm X slaying. Why does this particular subject come up all of a sudden, and what are the repercussions of having that kind of slant promoted again in the black community? So if we want to deal with these issues and our current issues, we need to look at all the different groups and all the different voices and take care of our own business without really having to worry about who's sponsoring this particular show. You follow the money, you follow the intention.
Okay. I'd like to just add to your point about that particular show is that I think one of the reasons of showing that movie, was to, again, to try to create chaos within the African community and also create the possibilities where other leaders can be put in uncompromising positions where they can easily be attacked or assassinated. And I think this is a good example why we must come to understand that history is a tool, but it must be used properly and understood properly. Because if not, the enemy will use that tool against you, and you'll be in it while he's doing it. And that was a good example of that particular movie, Brother McHale. I wholeheartedly agree with the points that you made. What I would like to do right now, because we only got a few minutes, we would like to get a response from Sister June in terms of what is your opinion on the images of how they have dealt in general, this whole concept of imagery of the kind of things that you've seen from this past year of Black History Month, Sister June? Just in general, things you have seen, good and bad, how would you label, describe, how would you grade whether or not, you know, if it was adequate, inadequate, or some of the things you didn't think it was relevant that they did to create issues for you and pertain around this whole concept of the importance of African History Month or Black History Month?
Okay, for me, I would say that it was adequate. I got reintroduced to some figures that I had not read about or heard about for a while, like Sonia Sanchez. I actually went to hear her speak, talk about some of the things that she did. I've read where the legislation was passed to put the bust of Frederick Douglass in the White House and Rosa Parks there. I've seen black children performing in school to celebrate the African History Month. So for me, it's been quite adequate, and I'm still learning. But I do want to say one thing, and in terms of solutions, we talk about how we have to look toward someone else's providing our images for us because they have the money and the backing to do so. But my simple solution is this: when each one teach one, or let's take it to the street, like Mr. Joyner said, do it one Wednesday or one day a week to do nothing but study black history. I said, take it to the streets. I said, every day you come up with a subject. If you want someone to know more about who they are, who you are, and what we are doing, talk to them on the corner. That's to make it a grassroots effort. And through technology, we can always get the information and just put it out there. And it
Okay, in closing, to my co-host, how many minutes do we have left to my co-host, Susie?
We actually have 2 minutes and 36 seconds. And I'd also like to add on to the question that you asked June out of Philly. One other tool we can use is with the few radio stations that we have, they had an interesting program where they went around to different high schools and they asked the black young youth to compare themselves to someone back in history, and this gave them a chance to do the reading and do the research to determine how they see themselves versus the person back in history, as far as is there any changes or can they also follow almost the same route.
Okay, excellent, excellent. In closing, we'd like to inform our audience that you can always engage with Mr. Page in History on a biweekly basis. We meet every other Saturday at 12 noon. You can dial www.blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistoryinc. And you can get us, if you want to directly contact us, you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. In closing, Ms. Joyner, less than 1 minute, we want to ask you, what is Missing Pages of History planning to do to ensure that Black History Month is carried out in this proper historical context?
What we're going to do, suggestive-wise, is that we're going to contact the school systems while we're adopting the classroom to do this. At the same time, every church I've been to, I've done a study for the last 5 years on youth in the church, and most of them have a youth, something that's put aside for the youth. I think this is time we need to preach to the choir. We have a sub, third Sundays, I think, what they call Youth Sunday in the churches, and they have youth ministers. We need to get the youth ministers together first. That's number one. And again, to destroy some of these images that we have. And at the same time, make sure we portray that out into the neighborhood, like June said, take it to the streets. So if people got buildings that have black community, have buildings, we can sort of do that also. That we just got to put a grassroots effort out there like Obama did when he got elected. It's all about grassroots. You can put information out there for as you want to on TV, radio, and all that.
Okay.
But you got to talk to individual people. So the Mission Page is going to participate in our future radio programs that we planned and formatted to talk to the youth and to destroy the imagery and say, this is what we do. I remember back, back in the day, when the magazine, Jet Magazine, came to different areas of North Carolina. They used to burn the magazines. The European Americans used to burn the magazines at the bus stations when they came, but they would pay for them. But you never saw that imagery. So these are the kind of things. We got to destroy things, same as they destroy things. At the same time, we got to make sure we talk truthfulness, accurate, and get information, and make sure we have all it annotated properly so someone can, well, you're not saying this, well, you wrote it, and we found it. So my thing is, if you put it inside of a book, I'll find it. So I want
to
say, round everything down. So guys, please call in, email, Mr. Pages is going to email our supporters so they can call in, more abundantly. So these are the kind of things we're going to put on the table at our meetings.
Okay, we'd like to thank all of our guests and members of Mr. Pages of History today. And we'd like to thank you, the audience, for listening. And like to share with you that you always go to our archive and view all the programs that we have done. So please share with your friends. And on every other Saturday, you can engage with Mr. Page's History. Until next time, we'd like to tell you that while information you cannot think, and while organization you cannot think clearly, join the organization doing something to help make humanity better. So until next time, make sure you include your missing pages of history in our history book. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.